You either take this on and become a 10x to the marketer that you were, or you don't, and somebody else will take your job, take your plate, take your client. It's almost like I see people in our profession, if you don't really go after AI, you are going to lose. I almost can guarantee it, because everything is going to change.
Hi, welcome to another episode. With me today is Zev Wexler. Zev, welcome to the show. I am super excited for today's episode. We're going to get into a lot of cool things. But before we do, I think I'd like to give you a chance to introduce yourself.
Thank you, Brian. First of all, thank you for having me, and it's exciting to be on. So my name is Zev Wexler, and I run two companies. I run Wexler Marketing, which is our digital marketing agency, and we help many people to basically grow and get more leads. We always believe that you know your business, we know the digital landscape, and together we can really dominate. So that has been my niche for the past 15 years, and I've enjoyed it a lot. In the past year and a half, I've been diving really deep into AI, blockchain, and Web3, which is exactly where I think everything is going. So you and I discussed this earlier, but Wayne Gretzky used to say, I don't want to be where the puck is, I want to be where the puck is going. So that's why I really changed my focus to number one, AI, number two, blockchain, and number three, Web3. And we help companies understand how they can make money, save money, and improve what they do using these emerging technologies that are going to change everything, Brian. Like, everything is going to change.
So, you know, for the folks that are following along at home, the content of our show and the current, you know, audiences, marketers, just like us. And so the marketing landscape clearly is going to be influenced by the things you're talking about. How are you pivoting your marketing approach to leverage these new technologies?
Very interesting question. So first of all, some of us know what Web3 is and some of us don't. So let's start with that concept, okay? So really what Web3 is what the internet is going to evolve to. Some of it has already evolved with blockchain technology. Now, I'm going to take everybody a little bit of step back, and I hope I don't lose anybody. But one thing I want to make clear, blockchain is a technology. Crypto is a use of that technology, and it's blockchain and crypto are not the same thing. I have no problems with crypto, but blockchain and crypto are not the same thing. Blockchain is a technology that's going to change everything. So let me ask you a question. When's the last time you read a newspaper, Brian? Like a live, actual, like flip paper newspaper?
Ooh. Oh, it's easily been probably a year and a half.
Ooh, that's way shorter than what I thought. So it's probably been like 10 years for me since I actually flipped a newspaper. Why? Now, I used to flip a newspaper every morning. That was my daily routine when I was growing at home. Why don't we look through newspapers anymore?
They're inconvenient in pretty much every way. They're wasteful. They're horrible for the environment. The only reason I read a newspaper even a year and a half ago was because I wanted to buy one for a landmark event in my life.
That is awesome. But what is the one thing that happened that because of that, nobody uses newspapers anymore?
The internet.
The internet, right? So we have a better technology. That's why newspapers are obsolete. Blockchain and AI are going to do that almost times five. Okay. So with blockchain technology, something really interesting is kids that are born today will never have a bank account, Brian. Okay. It's like trying to convince you to send me a fax because the technology is just getting better. So for us, you and I, you know, we've been around the block for a little bit. You know, we're ingrained into this. Yeah. But for the new people that are born with blockchain and AI, our life is not going to suit them. Why would you open a bank account if by the age of 12, you can send Bitcoin to whoever you like, and with blockchain technology, you are actually a bank yourself? So I'm digressing a lot here, but what I'm trying to say is the world is changing underneath us. I almost see this AI and blockchain as the meteorite, and you and I are the dinosaurs. So we have an opportunity here to either adopt or just go away. Everything is changing, especially in our profession, Brian. Marketing.
So what does that mean for marketers?
So marketing already became very, very commoditized, right? Like we're in the digital marketing business. It's becoming very, very commoditized. But it was, there was still a kill type, like somebody can write better or do better art or create better websites. Now with AI and blockchain, this will all even out. Okay. There are already AIs that can do code better than most humans out there. There are already generative AI that can create art better than most people out there. I cannot draw to save my life. I've already sold art. Okay. Using AI, I've created art for myself, for clients. I've sold art. Some was published in a newspaper. We just talked about a newspaper. So what I'm saying is you have a choice right now as a marketer. You either take this on and become a 10X to the marketer that you were, or you don't, and somebody else will take your job, take your plate, take your client. We're on a, it's almost like I see people in our profession, if you don't really go after AI, you are going to lose. I almost can guarantee it because everything is going to change. Go ahead.
So really interesting. I think the first order sort of appreciation and acceptance for this kind of stuff is like, okay, so now I have these new tools and you just mentioned them, right? So you've got these tools to generate images. You've got these tools to generate content. And as marketers, in many ways, kind of the easy and obvious implementation, right? Like, okay, well, I've sharpened, now I've got better saws. I've moved from, you know, sharpened rocks to scalpels. Now, how do we go, how does that change the strategy itself, right? So independent of giving me, you know, better, faster, kind of stronger, leaner, all of that, just by improving my toolkit, what does it really mean from a strategic perspective? Now that everyone can do that, that skill starts to become much more democratized and accessible. How does a marketer keep up from a strategic perspective?
Great question. So I'll answer in a couple of facets. First of all, nobody's good at AI right now. I think I'm one of the better ones, but nobody's really good at AI. It's a growing field. So what you can do is grow with it. We're all infants and we're all learning. So play. Have fun, experiment. I challenge my team. You know, even if it's going to take you twice as much time right now, do this with AI. See the differences. For instance, I had a meeting with a wonderful filmmaker yesterday, somebody that created some beautiful documentaries. And our conversation was, he's such an incredible storyteller. I have technologies that basically make stories into motion art, right? Into videos. So we are experimenting right now with his incredible, not only storytelling skills, but also cinema knowledge and cinematography understanding, how he can talk to this AI we created and tell stories to the AI, and the AI will then create full-on videos. Now, are we completely there yet? No. But are we going to be there soon? Absolutely. So what I'm trying to do is to take these people that really know the business, have this incredible wealth of knowledge about how things work, and then connect them with an AI or connect them with one of my AI experts to take what that person know, feed it into AI, and kind of understand how the AI can help us. So it's not all, and then you're talking about strategic. I put all of my clients, the time, the projects, I put it all into an AI system, and I ask the AI system, where is my time more valuable? Where am I creating more things? And the AI is not shy, right? It doesn't have any feelings. It doesn't care more for this client or for the other. So Brian is going to tell you the truth. You should not spend time with this client. It is not profitable for you. But every 10 minutes you spend with this client, you're growing their ROI, you're growing the engagement. So guess what? After that, I'm going to either take the most limited time I can with that client, or I'm just going to let him go. If a client is really wasting my time and I'm not helping them and the AI is telling me that, I'll show that to the client. I'll say, Mr. Client, you know, this is what's going on. We either can move this way or we can, you know, say goodbye as friends. In the end of the day, my capacity is the most important. I want to be the most effective that I can be. I know I can move the needle, so I only want to be in places that I can move the needle. And up until now, we're all salespeople or we're all marketers. We like to sell. We like to get the praise, but we don't really know what changes the needle, what moves the needle up or down. The AI allows us to do that. then something very interesting about our own teams. We have an AI running for all our teams. I can then see what my team is asking the AI. I can understand where there's gaps in knowledge, gaps in skill. Maybe I can understand where there is a different thought process that then I can get my team. I was like, hey guys, I saw what you just did, but you know, we could have done it this way. We should have looked at it this way. So the AI now lets me, you know, not all my employees have the cojones to come and ask me stuff all the time. I'm busy, I'm running, I'm, you know, doing things. So they'll be much more susceptible to ask the AI. So now I understand what's on my own team's mind. And we've done projects with huge companies where we took all their HR, we educated an AI, closed an AI system with all their HR rules, laws, and personal information, gave that AI a very pleasant female voice. And now all of these employees of this huge company that everybody knows their name can actually ask the HR all kinds of questions. This created two amazing things, Brian. One, it actually created within the employees the feeling that, you know, they're cared, somebody's answering, now they can get their responses for all the things that maybe only three people in all the organization knew and they didn't want to talk to them. But the number two thing that happened is now this huge company knows which people are happy and which are not. We even educated the AI to give them a representation of how likely that person is to be looking for another job, based on what they're asking the AI bot. So this has been so good because the employees are now feeling like this company is investing a lot more in them, that they're getting more things, they feel the help. Now the company gets all this intelligence and now they almost have an algorithm and they know, oh, these three people from that department are probably looking for another job. So we either fix their problem or we start looking for replacements because they are looking for other jobs. So does that help, Ryan?
So it answers some of the application questions, right? So like again, sharper saws, you know, better tools, and to a certain degree, I'm hearing the improved decision making because you have that superpowered sort of analytic mind that you can call on for all sorts of questions. But I think what it really points out to me, and you know, hearing you speak, is that the way you're going to really pursue meaningful market differentiation moving forward, since everyone's going to have access to these super tools, is effectively the most creative person wins. The person who can use these tools in the most creative or novel way is going to have everybody else chasing them, because that seems to be the reality of that environment. Now, disabuse me of that notion, if you would. Like, help me understand how that's true or not true.
It's true to some extent and it's not true to some extent. So different companies have different needs. Sometimes we work with many companies that they cannot use like an open AI.
Right.
Okay. So ChatGPT, the elephant in the room, everybody can go use ChatGPT for all kinds of things. But if you're a lawyer, if you're a government contractor, if you can't use that, because let me tell you something, everybody here listening, the AI always invents. Okay. So when you open an AI like ChatGPT, OpenAI, to everything, what you're doing is the AI is always trying to expand, and you can't help but having the AI hallucinate and invent. Okay. So we look at things a little bit differently. We want to build, it's more expensive, it's more, it needs more work, but it works so much better. So we build you a data set. Okay. We build you an secured information set that everything in there is uniquely you and how you want to do the business. So for instance, we're developing a really amazing tool right now to answer RFPs. Okay. So in order for that to work, we need to educate the AI with every RFP you've ever answered. Who in your company does what? How do you answer? What's the goal? So now that AI, that knowledge facility is only for you. It's only for Brian, Podcast Chef. It knows you. It knows your habits and know how you write, how you use things. So we believe in giving the AI like borders and limits, and you cannot go out of these limits. All you can do is process this data here and process it in this way. So with that, you can't use OpenAI. So for that, you need your actual, your own language sourcing. So that becomes, you know, not just creative, but you got to understand what use goes where. There's many uses. Go ahead.
You know, and so the natural risk there then is, you know, your own biases get solidified into an AI that supports them. I think that then becomes its own set of challenges, right? What do I include? What do I not include? The folks with the biggest, LLM or whatever, you know, digested data set wins in that context, in the arms race that is.
So again, I don't think so. The more expansive AI will hallucinate, will make stuff up. ChatGPT is wrong most of the time. People don't realize it, but ChatGPT is wrong most of the time. There was even a month that the accuracy of ChatGPT dropped to like 3%. Okay. So it's not all about expensive data and just go right. Most of the internet, pardon my French, is bullshit. Okay. So if you're
marketers listening to this are going to be stunned with that revelation.
Yeah. So most of the internet is not correct, not true, and people just writing things. So if you have a super smart AI basing themselves on things that are not true, your results are going to become not true. So AI can splice and dice data in ways that we cannot. So it's not about giving it all the data in the world. It's about giving the data that matters and the data that is only yours. Now, you're talking about biases. You can make sure that it doesn't have biases by entering certain rules and laws. So for instance, I have an AI tool that all it does is help me on my LinkedIn. Okay? It knows every post I ever wrote on LinkedIn. It knows my tone. It knows everything of how I like to do. There is like probably 50 different rules. Okay? And what I need to do is I just need to tell it a small story. And from that small story, the AI is putting together all the stuff that I need for that LinkedIn post. Now, that's a pretty silly use for it, but the amount of time that it saves me on a daily basis is insane. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's a tool I created for myself. It's all with my rules, my data, all set up. And I truly believe that the tool that has limited data is a better tool than the tool that has all the data, because you'll make horrible mistakes. And if you gotcha. Deal with anything that needs accuracy, you cannot do that. Government cannot use OpenAI. You know what I mean?
So bringing that kind of all back together right now, you know, we're going to imagine just in the same way you prompt GPT, right? Like I'm a marketing director at a small firm. How can I stay ahead of all of the, you know, teenage kids who now put themselves out there as marketing experts because they have access to all these generative tools?
Well, that is a hilarious question. So there are people that know how to use tools. That's awesome and great. They still don't understand you, your business, how to do with it. So don't be threatened by children with AI tools. Okay. You need the knowledge and you need the AI tool. I've had even kids that work for me and with me, kind of saw the ease of how we're doing things. And then they quit and they start their own thing.
Uh-huh.
None of them ever succeed. It is not as simple. Yes, the AI is the new thing. You still need to know how to market. You still need to know how to sell. You still need to understand the market. So AIs are making everything better or worse. They'll get you quicker to life or death, if you know what I mean. So there is still knowledge you need to have. Now, I truly believe, Brian, that there's room for AI in every process, but I cannot rely on AI for anything all the way. So there has to be, you have to rely on AI in a certain way, and then you have to put your own sauce on it. You have to QA. If you don't QA AI, you're an idiot. Okay. Like, you're going to make mistakes. And at the end of the day, you're going to embarrass yourself. So AI has its part in the process, but it's never the whole process.
Gotcha.
So instead of
that 15-year business background that you've got in marketing is something that you'll still be using moving forward.
Absolutely. Probably more than the other things, but now I'm putting on it something that I know the entire world is going that direction. So between you and I, by 2030, your life is going to be different. You're going to use AI for 95% of the things that you do on a daily basis. It's just what's going to happen. People don't realize they use AI already. What is Alexa? What is Siri? You know, what are all these things?
Yeah, yeah.
So the more, you know, I play with my kids with AI all the time. We create, like, we tell stories and we create things. And now my wife has a, you know, she wants to maybe do a book for them based on the AI stuff that we created. So I teach my kids about AI. I teach my kids about what it can do. Think about this. Do you know how to code, Brian?
I used to.
You used to. I don't. And I bet you with my AI, I can code better than 99% of any coder out there. Yeah. So the AI allows me to code. So basically, I needed to do something. I had to call, you know, my CTO, or I had to call one of my front-end, back-end, you know, developers. Right. I needed to create some art. I had to call my art director or some of my junior staff and then to explain to them. And now, 3 minutes, I go, boom, 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 put something on Midjourney or you know, DALL-E, put something together, then boom, boom, I create some code. I see that it works. And then I give my guys a whole vision, like, guys, this is how I want it to look. This is how I want it to function. Go. Okay. It took me 10 minutes. And now my guys have more direction that they used to have after hours.
Gotcha.
Because gotcha. I just built it and showed it, like, hey, guys, now make it perfect. Again, the tool I'm building in the AI is now ready for market, but I just cut 70% of the work.
Right. That's awesome.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Zev, how can people get a hold of you? How should they reach out if they want to learn more or engage you in some way?
Thank you for the question. So the best way to reach out to me, ladies and gentlemen, is through LinkedIn. I'm going to also leave my email with you guys. It's Z for my first initial, Wexler for my last name, at WexlerLLC.com. Feel free to send us any emails or questions. We put a lot of content on LinkedIn, Brian, a lot, and it's all educational, non-salesy. So if you guys want to check out what we're doing on LinkedIn, we'd love to. We put a lot of things about AI and blockchain and digital marketing. And any questions you guys have, we'd love to answer.
Awesome. And as we wrap here, I want to make sure that we leverage your three biggest learnings. So what are the three biggest learnings you've picked up in your marketing journey so far?
People like stories. Okay. Don't try to sell people with numbers and with statistics and with, you know, smart call to action. People like stories. So, and people like to see themselves in your story. So when you create a story as a marketer, you need to really see the client, see the end person in that story. A lot of people tell good stories only about themselves. So stories work, but you gotta make sure you involve the other person. And then one thing I've learned, this is on the business side, partnerships are the best way to grow. I've partnered with people that supposedly could be my competitors, and we found a good win-win way to grow. And that has been the fastest way I've ever grown. And if you do good by people, people tend to do good by you. So that's, you know, that's just something on business. Hopefully that was helpful.
All right. You got one more.
Oh, one more. Okay. So let's see. Oh, invest in your team. You cannot rule the world with people that don't know what they're doing. So I'm very good at certain things, but I'm really not at a lot of others. So invest in talented people. Invest in people that want to help you and are good at things that you're not. So that's my third goal. Don't be cheap. If there's good people, invest in them. That's the only way to grow.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time today, Zev. It's been really, really a fun conversation. Thanks again.
I enjoyed it, Brian. Hopefully I didn't go too much right and left, but it was fun.
All good. Hey, you. Yes, you. It's 2024 and you don't have a podcast yet. Or maybe you do, but you're struggling with it. We will talk to you about that for free. We'll help you figure out where you might be stuck,
Whether or not we can help you, for sure. But also, if you don't have one yet, what are the like first five things you can do? What are some great angles that you can use to make sure that your podcast was sustainable as you start to develop that moving forward? Those consults are free. So reach out at the link below in the show notes or email me at brian@podcastchef.com. Thanks.
Hi, this is Brian. Thanks for listening to the show. Our website, podcastchef.com, has a ton of useful information about how to best leverage podcasting to help you solve some of your business goals and challenges. You can also schedule a demo where we can show you how specifically Podcast Chef and our team can help you with some of your podcasting goals. Thanks.